Excellent. I would call this meeting to order at 12:05 Eastern Daylight Savings Time. Welcome. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Chris Molaiter. It's been my privilege to be the president of PeerIndB for the last 2 years. It's my privilege to welcome all of you to the annual member meeting. Today, each chair will present a rundown on what their respective committees has accomplished over the past year and hopefully plans for the coming year. I'd like to give my personal thanks to all the volunteers, stewards, and to you, the board of directors, for the many hours, work, and dedication. After each committee update, you'll have the opportunity to ask questions and provide feedback. At the end of the meeting, you will also have an opportunity to bring up any technical policy questions or feedback. I'd like to thank everyone for taking the time to join the meeting today. Let's move on to the next item of the agenda, approval of last year's minutes. I will entertain a motion to approve the meeting minutes for the meeting held April 18th, 2024.
James moved.
Second.
Who seconded?
Arnold.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm sorry, who was the?
Aye.
Aaron Hughes was the first. Arnold never
Thank
was
you.
second. Okay, let's do that again. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Objections? Any abstentions? Cool. That passes. Moving on to the next agenda item. Financial updates and call for sponsors. Shauna.
Hello. The finances were posted in January. Sponsorships are going well, and we welcome more. I was elected Secretary Treasurer as of last June. The bank accounts are reconciled monthly, and the annual tax exempt return will be filed in May as usual. Previous filings are available on the website along with the financial reports. In 2024, sponsors contributed about $310,000, which was up from about $280,000 in 2023. In 2024, PeerIndB spent about $65,000 on software development and maintenance, which was up from about $62,000 in 2023. Product management was about $54,000 in 2024, and it is expected to be the same in 2025. Cloud services and hosting were about $30,000 in 2024. And as a new person was brought on and trained, myself, Secretary Treasurer services were about $70,000 in 2024. PeerIndB currently has about $475,000 in the bank. Profit and loss and balance sheet reports for 2024 have been posted and shared with the PDB governance mailing list. Most all of our sponsors renew their annual sponsorships. That being said, more sponsors are needed so PeerIndB can better serve the community. Additional funding would enable further development, faster bug fixes, promotion, and education. Please see sponsorship levels on the website and reach out to sponsorship at PeerIndB.com for more information. Thank you.
Any questions or comments for Shauna?
Just a clarification on the roughly 70K Secretary Treasurer costs in 2024. That was split between Shauna and myself as part of training her to replace me.
Thank you, sir. Hearing no questions or comments, we'll move on to the next item on the agenda, admin committee update. Is Christopher here? If not, Peter, can you speak to that?
I'm sorry, could you repeat the question?
Could you speak to the admin committee update if Christopher's not here?
Oh, yeah, I think the primary thing is we're still struggling to get volunteers to actually do the work after they sign up. So the ticket log is actually higher and the responses are higher, not by too much. I think we've got a couple really good volunteers, but we could always use more. That's the primary thing that we're dealing with right now.
Excellent. Any questions or comments?
Peter, can you tell us real quick, just all of us in our travels, if we find anybody we think might be good for the AC, are there three or four traits that you guys are looking for specifically for new members?
Basically, if they're able to take, you know, just even a few hours out of their day, that's the big thing. Most of the tickets we get, they're pretty simple. It's just a matter of getting people to actually do those few hours if they can, you know, an hour a day or something like that.
Cool. Thank you.
Oh, Peter, I'm still willing to help. If you need help, just let me know.
We can certainly use it, Arnold.
All right. Moving on. Operations Committee update.
Hi, Job Snyder's here. I am the chair of the Operations Committee. The Operations Committee has us duty to make the Peering the Bee service available online through its platform at peeringthebee.com. And we strive to do this with no downtime. So let's reflect a little bit on what happened in 2024. One important thing I'd like to highlight is that the Whois service was disabled. Whois is a text-only port 43-based protocol that has served us well for many, many years, but nowadays Peering the Bee has a most excellent TLS-protected API. And in the past few years, users have been encouraged to migrate away from Whois service to using the Peering the Bee API and Peering the Bee CLI clients. So Whois is no more. Furthermore, multi-factor authentication options were rolled out. So nowadays users have multiple excellent choices to protect their accounts from, for instance, password leaks. So you can use TOTP, FIDO, and Passkey to protect your accounts. I believe the plan is to later this year make multi-factor authentication mandatory for all logins. So be on the lookout for announcements about the specifics of the plan to improve security for all user accounts. Then there are two more points I want to reflect on. Over the years, Peering the Bee has deployed multiple rate limiting mechanisms to ensure that somebody's script doesn't impede the service to detriment of everyone else. And I think by and large, we have done a fairly good job, but in the last year, there were one or two occasions where somehow our rate limiters did not kick in with certain use of the website or API. So this remains going forward a point of focus to be vigilant what aspects of the website are expensive queries that should be protected with rate limiters. And eventually, I think we will find all entry points that need rate limiters. And then the final point, I'm excited to share that we are working to get additional resources in the operations committee through a vendor to help with system administration tasks. So I expect that in the coming year, we'll make more headway in modernizing the operations and monitoring of the Peering the Beat platform and ensure that it is ready for the future. So with that, I would like to open the floor for questions or comments or additional points. Maybe I forgot something.
So I'm Nipper here, so I raised my hand. Perhaps it's not been seen. First of all, thank you very much, Joop, for all the work that the operations team committee does. It's really highly appreciated. And one thing I observe every day at around zero UTC, the service of the services is very unresponsive. This may be due to daily tasks that are run in the background and kick in. For example, I can imagine, or as far as I know, the IXF import from all the exchanges run around zero UTC, and this leads to really being the service unresponsive. Can you tell me something more about that? Or do you know about that?
To me personally, this is new information, but I think if you observe this at exactly midnight UTC, there's a very good chance that some automation somewhere is hogging resources in a way that is not appropriate for the overall consumption in relationship to other entities. So I will take this on as a to-do item to further investigate. If you'd be so kind to share with me like a URL where you see a spike in latency, that'd be super helpful to use as a starting point of the investigation.
Okay, I will do. Yeah.
Because do you mind if I add a little?
Yes.
In a second.
So go ahead.
We do have some monitoring for the latency of the surface in place via a platform called Uptime Robot, but it is entirely possible that the URL endpoints we are monitoring for latency are different ones than the ones that you are experiencing a delay. So that's why I'm asking you to email the URLs that where you see this so that we can investigate and maybe extend the monitoring.
Do you also monitor requests to the database or just ping and SMTP and so on?
I think there is one to the database as well, but I have to look it up. It's some time ago that I set this up.
Okay, thank you.
Chris.
On that subject, Arnold, this is Chris. The IXF importer, I can't remember, but I want to say it takes over an hour or over 90 minutes or something like that to run these days. It might even be longer. So if you're seeing a slowdown just surrounding a number of minutes around 0000 UTC, I would tend to think that is more likely due to clients, you know, users of Peering DB that have scripts that are triggered at that time and hitting it hard all of a sudden. Kind of a thundering herd issue. When I've looked at it in the past, well, yeah. Underlying database, I'm sorry, go ahead.
And a good point as well, that's not related to Peering DB, but to the users.
That's my suspicion when you talk about it being exactly around your UTC, just because the importer takes so long to run. And when I've watched it closely in the past in terms of how hard it hits the database, that is not the that's not a point of slowdown. And additionally, I just want to say the importer actually runs on an instance that is different than the front end instances. So the front end instances and the importer instance, or the instance the importer runs on, all hit the back end database. But yeah, it's definitely worth keeping an eye on things and trying to improve it.
Yeah, so all in all, this is exactly the type of feedback the operation committee loves. We work hard to make the application available in a clustered fashion behind load balancers and try and make resources available to all entities that use the service. But from time to time, there are quirks in this distributed system where slowdowns can be observed. And we'll chase it down. So reach out to me, Arnold, and we'll take it from there.
Any
other questions or comments or concerns?
This is Aaron Hughes. I would just add that the uptime robot that you mentioned earlier today is available to the public at the URL status.peeringdb.com, along with all of our SLAs for each of the URLs we're monitoring, if you feel like looking at that yourself.
Yep, good point. Thank you.
All right, moving on. Next item on the agenda, Outreach Committee update.
Thank you very much. So it's Ben Ryle here, Chair of the Outreach Committee. Reflecting on the past year, I think we're reasonably proud and happy to share accomplishments that we've achieved. You know, we continued our community engagement through attending events, and you know the team has supported both of being reachable to the membership, the community, but also presenting. So we're flagging updates, features, changes to the community as well, and trying to drive that dialogue. You know, the OC is primarily charged with engaging community and driving, you know, people's awareness and understanding of peer and DB. And we'll be continuing that as we kind of look forward to the next 12 months. With some of the new folks who've joined, we've kind of enhanced the social media presence. So as well as the regular kind of social media posts that get pushed out, we've updated some of the artwork for that to try and make those more engaging. That seems to be reasonably well received. You know, we're always happy to have more feedback if people feel we should be engaging in different ways. We're continuing to expand the OC membership, and thankfully after Greg presented at Apricot, we're talking to two prospective folks to join from the APAC region. And this is really to try and get every region represented on the OC, partly because they'll know the communities in those regions, but also, you know, the nuances of those regions. To try and drive, you know, engagement up and to the right. You know, like everyone says, volunteer, so I want to express my gratitude to everyone who's volunteered and worked over the last 12 months. That includes Arnold, Esther, Greg, Leo, Livio, Lindsay, Abina, and Taryn. At that point, I'm happy to take any questions, happy to hear any thoughts on progress or any comments or anything I've missed. Thank you.
All right, hearing none. Product committee update.
Hello, everybody. I apologize in advance. I may have written a little more text here than entirely necessary, but let's just blast through this. All right. Real quick, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Yes.
Ah, okay.
Yes,
cool.
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, thanks, guys. All right. The product committee is responsible for improving PeeringDB's software as a whole, from bug fixes and small tweaks through the planning and execution of large changes to the web UI, the API, and PeeringDB PY. The committee sits between users who ask for improvements and the developers who implement them. The committee, over the past year or so, has made an effort to recruit non-North American members. Since not all members can make the monthly meeting, we've been trying to make asynchronous progress easier and do more business via the mailing list and GitHub comments with great success. Our meetings have been more efficient, less time spent rehashing details, and more time spent discussing implications and implementations. We strongly encourage users to report their experience, good or bad, via GitHub, email, or flagging down members at events. The more input we have, the better we can tailor results right out of the gate, proactively, versus, you know, releasing imperfect behavior retroactively. In 2024, we closed 144 issues, and we are blazing through the 2025 schedule, blazing through 2025, if you will, at a higher rate than ever following our nearly 50% increase in the dev budget. Over the past year, we've made small and large improvements in several areas. A huge amount of effort went into fixing and improving search functionality. We think it is much better than it was, but by all means, send us a message if you find something unexpected or missing. The rate of errors is way down, but we would not yet say search is feature complete. Three quick search-related features worth mentioning. One, you can choose in your user profile to not show any IXP results who lack presence in a facility, for those of you with strong feelings about virtual IXs. Two, to be released very soon, you can get the curl command or Python requests code to perform a particular hand-entered advanced search programmatically via the API, copy-paste style. And three, data quality issues are still top of rack. We are sorting out issues with naming similarities, street address and town name canonicalization, and fun stuff like that. Another good mention is the recently released user management API, things like listing affiliated users, changing permissions, adding and removing org user relationships are now all automatable via the API. And again, please drop us a line if you or your org is going to use this heavy or are using it and either like it, don't like it, have things to say. We want to hear about it. The last few accomplishments worth mentioning, PeeringDB PY improvements and the web UI's dark mode. PeeringDB PY has gotten more robust at exception handling and easier to install. We want to encourage as many of our users as feasible to use PeeringDB PY for their API service versus PDB directly, since in most cases it's better for the user, in addition to being cheaper and easier for us from the, you know, the infra side. With respect to dark mode, if you look in your user settings, you can choose to apply it at night or all the time. Very fancy. And future looking, three important things coming down the pipe here. One, we are finally almost ready to release the phased rollout web UI process, which we've been talking about, whereby 20% of users are opted into the beta UI at login, but users can choose either to be opted in all the time to the beta or click never do this to me again. I don't like change. Two, the API basic auth is deprecated and calls using basic auth are going to return errors starting this summer. Please move to API keys. And three, multi-factor authentication will be required for all users starting July 1. Announcements will be sent in June for users that haven't yet successfully logged in via MFA. And we do have some self-service recovery flows. But by all means, try and get your MFA configured and working before this so you can tell us if you hit any hiccups. That's it. Huge thanks to all the PC members for keeping the train rolling in no particular order. We have Terry Sweetser, Arnold Nipper, Matt Griswold, Jeff Bartig, Leo Vigoda, Martin Hannigan, Paul Hugstetter, Peter Helmenstein, Steve McManus, Jan Berthier, and Yolanda Robinson. Thank you. Any questions? Cool. Thank you very much from the PC.
All right, moving up. Go ahead.
I just want to say that was an amazing presentation. And Jack, if you have a PDF to share, like we did last year to include in the minutes, please let Shauna know.
Cool. Yeah, I got a Google Doc I can shoot over to you.
All right. Moving on to the next item on the agenda. Technical and policy questions and answers. If anybody in the audience has anything they'd like to talk about, this is your floor. All right.
I have something.
Oh, go ahead.
So I know we're about to move on to talking about the election. I actually have a motion I'd like to be considered. If we run into a situation where we get to the end of the call for candidates and we don't have more seats than candidates this year, I have a motion and I'll share the language via the chat shortly, but the purpose of the motion is to allow the board to ratify the candidates rather than having a formal voting process. And let me Let me post the language for that in the chat now, and then I'll read it out loud. Let's see. Okay, hopefully that went to everyone. The motion, well, first of all, is there a willingness to accept the motion? I'll read it out loud if it's of interest. Or to consider the motion, I should say. I'll go ahead and assume that there's some people that would consider it okay. So the motion that I've written is Chris Caputo moves, quote, if on April 15th, 2025, there are not more candidates for the board of directors than the three board seats up for election, the membership empowers the board to optionally ratify the existing candidates having been elected by the membership to the board, thus avoiding a vote-based board election by the members. And then I'll turn this over to you, Chris Malater, if you'd like to entertain discussion on it.
I would love to entertain discussion on it. Do we have any discussion on it?
Point of order, you need a second.
I need a second.
Second.
All right.
Is that by Livio? Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, Job here. In our STV election process, you rank the candidates, which is a positive attestation. So I do think that if there are no additional candidates, the election would default to selecting the candidates that are available. So from that perspective, the election would be somewhat superfluous. And I guess this is why you brought it up to begin with, Chris.
Yeah, and I'm happy to amend this to say with candidates ranked by order of their nominations. How does that sound?
Yeah, you.
So if they order of their self nomination or something like that. No.
Is the order relevant this election around? Because I think all three seats are for the same term period.
Well, just for the purposes of. So seats 1, 3, and 5 would be available. And just for determining who gets seat 1, who gets 3 and 5, just for the purpose of the website, you know. Historically, it's been based on who has the highest vote count. But I was just thinking that the person that stepped up first would be in seat 1, and the person who stepped up second, and so on.
Yeah, it's probably good to be explicit about that, because if the next board chooses to, I don't know, propose changes around terms, then which director is in which seat is relevant. So having that clear a priori is good.
Okay, so I posted an amended motion. Arnold, would you like to second that? Or anybody else second it?
Olivia?
Second.
Okay, Arnold.
That's okay for me.
Okay.
All right. Any other discussion on the motion?
You may want to remove self, just say nomination. Because if an additional candidate shows up that is nominated by someone else, then you probably want the same principle to apply.
I accept your change. Here it is.
Well, sir, I will accept your change.
Okay, is that a second? Is that a second, Joe?
I am happy to second this.
Okay.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, then all in favor of the motion as written, can I get an aye?
Aye.
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 Aye. Any objections? Any abstentions? Okay, Chris, that passes.
Thank you.
So we'll jump into the next item, which is encouraging voting in the board election, which you may or may not have to do. But if we do have more candidates that self-nominate or are nominated by other people, and we do have an election, I would encourage you to vote in the election. It's your chance to shape the direction of the organization over the next few years. So if we get more candidates, please take the time to vote. All right.
Real quick, I apologize for being uninformed. When is the election?
April 15th.
15th. Okay, thank you.
And it happens for, I think it's the 15th through the almost the end of the month.
Ah, cool, cool, cool. Okay.
I want to add that. Sorry, can I?
Sorry, go ahead.
I want to add that during this week, I had a couple of events and someone contacted me, asking me how to join the nomination. So probably there will be more names soon.
Okay. For nominations, do they go to secretary, Chris?
Yes.
Okay. If you would like to stand for election in the Peering TV board meeting, or the Peering TV board, you can send an email to the secretary at peeringdb.com. All right. Hearing no more comments, I'd like to motion to adjourn the meeting.
You smoked.
Second?
Hold on a second. Wait a second, people. Ian Dickinson asks the chat a good question that I think we should answer before we adjourn the meeting. The question is, yeah. What happens if we have fewer candidates than seats?
What is the status of candidates right now, Chris?
Right now there's two for the three seats. I'm quickly looking at the bylaws now. I suspect the board can fill a seat, but I want to make sure.
Yeah, I think that's what happens. If we don't
the vacancy in the position of the director may be filled by an affirmative vote of a majority of the remaining directors.
Yeah. So if we only have those two people stand, it would be up to the board if they want to fill that seat. You are welcome, Ian. Any other questions on the election?
Yeah, me, not again. So could we have a notification on the landing page of Peering DB that we will have elections?
Never done that in the past. I don't see what we could.
Actually, we have the steps during the actual election, Arnold. Historically, during an actual election, the Twitter and the homepage, I think, both reference that there's an election underway and link to the appropriate information for it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Any other questions or comments about the election? All right, hearing none, I'd like to motion to adjourn the annual meeting.
I move
for the second time.
Thanks for putting
it together. Do I have a second?
Job.
All right.
You don't need a second for adjournment.
All right, then I think we are done. Thank you all so much for coming, and have a great day.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone.
Bye.
Thanks, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you.